Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Like that's what disconnects me from all that. Like, I have no connection to that. Like, over a video, I'm asking questions about the fans. You brought up the fans. Come on, man.
Dale Arnold.
Zion went down. Looked like he hyperextended his leg.
Did have some shoes brought out to him.
Rich Keefe.
We have 4 hours every day. We talk about a lot of stuff. That is so dumb to call into a station and say, hey, why don't you talk about this? Why don't you talk about this? Talk about it.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Wow, Matt Benning talk.
Yeah,
really
Matt Benning
digging
call.
Deep.
We're doing all right today.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know how you know you're going good?
How's that?
You know you're going good when you're the coach of the Boston Bruins. You're in the sixth round of the shootout. You tap David Backes on the shoulder. And everybody in New England is going, including me, is going,
why? Why him?
What are you doing?
I thought he was going to say, tap him and say, why don't you go to the locker room now? We don't need you. No. We're not going to need you. I don't want to accidentally put you out there.
You tap him on the shoulder and he goes out and ends it for you.
He scores and wins. Of course he does.
You got a streak going if you're Bruce Cassidy and you pull that thing off.
Things are going pretty well for the Bruins right now.
We did say yesterday, by the way, we did say that Ryan Donato was one of the players that I thought that Don Sweeney would be willing to part with. And they did. I thought, quite honestly, and I knew that they were interested in Coyle. They have been reportedly interested in Coyle for a while. I honestly thought that Donato would be part of a package deal where they would package up him and let's say, Danton Heinen.
Right.
You know, as a way of getting Mark Stone or somebody. But what they've done is they've gone out and acquired a third line center / second line right wing. I think when they next play Saturday in St. Louis, Charlie Coyle will be on the right wing with David Krejci and Jake DeBrusk.
So I hate the trade. I hate it. I thought you
like trades.
I like trades.
Oh, okay.
I also like Ryan Donato. When we were talking about a lot of the young guys, that was one guy I wasn't thrilled about trading away. I feel like he has the best chance to bite you in 3 years from now.
Maybe.
When you look
you
up and you're
right.
Like, she's like, geez, 25, 30 goals? Well, why didn't you hang on to him? So Ryan Donato is 4 years younger than Charlie Coyle.
Yep.
Do you think in 4 years from now, Ryan Donato is going to be able to score 10 goals in a season?
Oh,
because that's what Charlie Coyle has right now. So I would hang on to Donato unless it was for a major upgrade like Stone. I mean, I doubt they're getting Panarin, but somebody like that. I just see this deal and I say, what is this? I feel like Donato could be good. Now, I know Coyle is under contract next year, so he's not a rental.
Right. He's not a rental. He's under contract.
And he's 26, so he's not.
And it's a good contract from the team's perspective.
Yeah, 3 and change.
$3.2
million. Yeah, so that's not bad. But I just, that didn't really blow me away at all. And I said, okay, that's a slight upgrade, but it's an upgrade because the third line, which I guess is essentially now the fourth line, stinks. All those guys have struggled, and you're constantly looking for somebody for Krejci if you want to put him on there. But
that's where I think he'll be Saturday, and for the time being.
Is he really a top six guy?
Yes. Yeah.
You think so?
He is already the biggest forward you have. He's 6'3", 220. He's one of your faster forwards already.
Yeah.
He's got good size, good speed. I think ultimately he'll be the third line center, but until Pastrnak comes back,
right.
I think what he'll be is your second line right wing for now.
All this screams to me is you better make another move.
Oh, I don't think this is it.
No, I don't. And they have days to do it.
Right.
They just decided to do this one now and pull the trigger on it. But out of all the guys, I know Donato, the expectations were really high for him this year, and then it hasn't worked out to this point. But we saw some flashes even last year that I just...
Oh, look, the kid can shoot. Now, don't get it wrong. He has a great shot, an NHL-caliber shot.
This is Coyle's seventh year in the league. In his rookie year, he only played like half the season. So it's really his sixth full season. He has topped out so far at 21 goals. It's his only 20-goal season. That's a top out. And his most points in a season is 56. I feel like you could do better.
Well, for a third line center, that's a hell of a player.
That's not bad, but for giving up Donato is my point. Yeah, I'm not wild about that.
I felt that within, and I said this yesterday, within the organization, I felt that they were willing to part with a guy like Donato. They like him. They think he's got a lot of talent.
For Coyle?
They thought, yeah, see, I.
So you like the move?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right,
because I think they desperately needed a third line center. Yeah. I've been saying all along, there are two areas of greatest need for me, where third line center, second line right wing. Now, at the moment, he's both of those guys.
They're not done.
They're going to make at least another move. And ultimately, what you did was give up a player from the Providence Bruins for a guy who Saturday, I think, is going to be your second line right wing.
No, and that's understandable. And they've gone through a bunch of different guys to see if they can fit at that spot. And I wonder if... Now, whatever the next move is, that could make me feel a little bit better. But if you find out that, oh, really wish we had Donato to include in this other trade, then that's going to bother me. Couldn't you have gotten Charlie Coyle another way? And also, isn't Ryan Donato right now, his stock is kind of low compared to what, if you traded him at the beginning of the year.
This has been a disappointing year for
him. It has. Oh, there's no doubt.
I mean, when he was here, he underwhelmed.
Yeah.
He went to Providence. He didn't exactly overwhelm there either.
I thought he was going to score 20 goals this season. That's what I felt based off of what we saw last year and sort of the hype around him and some of the skill that we've seen from him. But it hasn't really worked out. But I would not be shocked at all if he ended up being good. Like if you said 3 years from now, what is Trent Frederick, Ryan Donato, Danton Heinen doing in the league? I think Ryan Donato will be the best player
maybe
in 3 years.
Look, it is entirely possible that you're right, and it's entirely possible that, you know, 2-3 years down the road, you're gonna be disappointed you made the deal. I think they're making the deal for now.
They're not making it now.
For 2 or 3 years down the road.
No, they are.
They as you wake up this morning, the Bruins are 1 point behind Calgary for second place overall in the NHL.
Oh yes,
now
you've
got Tampa Bay up here,
and
they're kind of running away with things right now. But the Bruins are right there in that next tier down. And they feel that they've got a chance to, you know, do some damage here. In fact, the deal is actually set up so that it is Ryan Donato and a fifth round pick.
Yes.
Unless they win their first round playoff series, then it becomes a fourth round pick.
And that's fine. I mean, that's, you know, it's not the first round pick in back to back years. It's, you know, so I'm okay with that. I could care less about a fifth rounder or a fourth rounder. And if you win the first round, that probably means you beat Toronto, right? It probably means you've had a really productive first round series. So I'm okay with that. I mean, the idea of Charlie Coyle on his own is fine. I just felt like they gave up kind of soon on Ryan Donato. And we'll see. I mean, Don Sweeney's history of trades, not, you know, incredible. And some of the signings that he has had is certainly not incredible. So we'll see where he goes from here, because you can't be done. So even when you get Pastrnak back, I feel like, all right, now Coyle can probably go to that third line, like you said. But you're still in need of another forward. You're still missing another top six guy.
And I think they're going to make another deal.
So the other deal would be for somebody better than Coyle, right?
Yes, that would make me feel better.
Sorry, that would make me feel a little bit better.
I mean, just to put some numbers on this very quickly. The last 10 games, the Bruins are 9-0-1.
Yeah, they're great.
They've won 7 straight. They're 4-0 on the road trip. They're 5-0 without David Pastrnak.
Which, that's the craziest part.
Since January 1st, they played New Year's Day in the Outdoor Classic, you know, at Notre Dame, the Winter Classic. Since that game, they're 15-3-4.
Yeah,
and as I said,
rolling.
They are now third in the NHL, 1 point behind Calgary for second in the NHL. And I think Don Sweeney has correctly decided, I got to help this team.
Yeah.
I got to do some, and this isn't the only move, I don't believe. I got to do some things to help this team get better. I will tell you that Mark Savard on Twitter last night loved the deal.
Oh, he's all about it.
And I will tell you that another former Bruin called me last night and said, I really like this a lot.
PJ Stock?
It was not PJ. Oh, okay. He sometimes does call
Teddy
me.
Teddy Donato?
No. I'd have a scoop there, wouldn't I? No, it was not. And I do think that there are people out there a bit more positive about this deal than you are.
Well, sure.
I understand completely about the idea of not giving up the hot young prospect. The hot young prospect doesn't look as good as he did when he first came up here last year.
He definitely cooled off, but I had faith in him. I think he's going to be a solid pro. I'm not saying he's ever going to be, you know, an all-star, but I think he could be a solid guy and a top six forward. I don't even know if Charlie Coyle is that. I don't know. I'm just underwhelmed by his stats. I'll be honest, not that I'm watching a ton of Minnesota games. I know he's a local guy. He went to Thayer, then he went to BU. So I know the caller yesterday who hated all the BU players. He can't possibly
hate this.
Charlie Coyle in here. But Now, maybe if you put him with Krejci for a few games, and maybe he'll be able to get something going.
By the way, and we've talked about this, Krejci's having a great year.
Yeah.
DeBrusk has suddenly heated up to an incredible degree, has scored goals in five straight games.
Yeah.
If you do, and I don't know that Bruce is going to do this, this is what I think he's going to do. You stick Charlie Coyle on the line with those two guys right now, that should be a rocket ship for this kid.
I don't know. I think you're overstating Coyle. Is he that much of a goal scorer? He hasn't been yet.
Wait, if you do get, if your third line center is a 15 to 20 goal guy, you're feeling pretty good about life.
Yeah, so if he's your third line guy, then I guess that's a little bit, because right now you're getting nothing from that line. So
I mean, like
anything
less than
at all
nothing.
You're getting is a bonus. So do you think ideally they're going to make a move to allow Pastrnak to play with Bergeron and Marchand?
No, I think they want to keep Pastrnak with Krejci.
And then give somebody else
They want to find who's the right wing.
Yeah, just so it's not
to play
or whatever. Yeah.
With Bergeron and Marchand.
Okay. I mean, that'd be great. I mean, I think, but they need another bona fide goal scorer is what I'm thinking. And it's not, you know, you look at the stats and they're scoring a lot of goals and the team is really good, but it is so top heavy that you feel like, all right, if you get into a series again with Tampa Bay, and isn't that the ultimate, measuring stick. You get in there with Tampa Bay, why is it going to be different than it was last year?
Because what you're desperately trying to do is make sure that you are not a one-line hockey team,
right,
which you were against Tampa Bay last year. They shut down the only line you had,
right,
and they beat you.
Yeah, and pretty badly.
And that's the thing that I think Don Sweeney's been concentrating on all season long is,
yeah,
we've got to make sure we can spread that scoring out. Now, with DeBrusk playing the way he is and Krejci playing the way he is, you're feeling pretty good about being at least a two-line team.
Yeah, right. And then, again, if Coyle gives you anything, and then we'll see who ends up, how it shakes out, and who's still on the team, because the next move that they make may involve Danton Heinen, or it may involve a guy that is currently on this roster. Because that's what we were talking about yesterday, is will they move on from guys that are currently playing for the big club? And this wasn't one of those moves. I mean, Donato did not play a lot of games with the Bruins, or with the Boston Bruins anyway. And so he moves on. The roster is going to look the same with just the addition of Coyle. But I think going forward, there's going to be a little bit more of a shakeup. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think there are certainly guys. I mean, you look at the way the scoring is distributed on this team, and it's pretty comical. So even Charlie Coyle, who comes in with 28 points, Dale, I think that puts him fifth.
Yeah,
For forwards, right? You have the top three guys that are running away with it. Then you have Krejci.
And now you have DeBrusk, who's kind of joining the mix.
He's getting up there a little bit, which is good to see. But so even though I look at Coyle, I'm like, man, you could use a little bit more offensive pop. But the rest of the guys on this team aren't really doing that. So it is an addition for sure.
If this were the only, if we get to the trade deadline Monday at 3 and this is the only move the Bruins make, I may be more on your side, even though I think ultimately this makes the team better.
Yeah.
You gave up a guy in Providence for a guy who's going to play on your team. So you're better.
Right.
You're a better team this year. I don't believe this is the only move. I do think they are going to be in on a couple of things between now and Monday. And I actually wouldn't be surprised if it happened before Monday again, because I think they have set about the idea of ruining the Nesson trade deadline special.
Yeah, you guys are just
doing
all
the deals ahead of time. And then what the heck am I supposed to talk about with Brick?
I don't know. Line changes? maybe how they match up with Toronto? I don't know what you're going to do from there. I take it back. So DeBrusk, with his goal last night, he has more points, yeah, than Coyle, but he's right in that range. He has 28 on the season. DeBrusk is 29. Heinen is 21. So he's sort of in that mold. He's 26, and he's got, you know, a year left on his deal. So I guess on the one hand, you're not trading Donato away for a guy that's here for a couple of months. I mean, that's maybe one positive. But overall, I just feel like they gave up on him. He was not having a good season. They ended up kind of selling low. And now we'll see what Charlie Coyle can do.
This guy is a former first-round pick. He was drafted by San Jose, 28th overall. He was then traded. He was part of the Brent Burns trade. San Jose got Brent Burns.
That's a good trade.
As part of, and Coyle was part of the deal to Minnesota for Burns. And now, of course, dealt to the Bruins. I'm not going to make anything about this whole, you know, local kid comes back. East Weymouth, played for the South Shore Kings.
It's like Jimmy Hayes, bring him back. Bring him back to Boston.
Brad Marchand said after the game last night, he was asked about the deal. He says, well, frankly, I think we're loading up on too many local guys, but everybody seems to like it.
There's a lot of local flavor. So did he play for, Was Amonte the coach at Thayer when he was there, or did Amonte start coaching after him?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'll have to look.
He was at Thayer in like 08, 09, I think is what it was, and then he moved on to like...
He played with Chris Wagner on the South Shore Kings.
Okay. And he's played on a lot of Team USA stuff for like the younger group, so... No, he's highly decorated as far as all that is concerned, and he's been in the league now, like I said, for... This is his seventh season, but nothing real crazy, just kind of a steady player.
I do think that the Bruins had a need for a little more heft on the forward line.
That's true.
He shows up, he's already your biggest forward.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that they are pretty small. Because we talk about like Krug and Grizzlick being small, but if you look at their forwards across the board, they are. Like, where's the big guy? And I guess Coyle is one of them. And that may have gone into their thinking,
too. Oh, I think it did. Yeah. And as I said, he's got great wheels. He's got size. He's got speed. He can do a couple of different things for you. He can play right wing. He can play center. He's versatile. And I liked Ryan Donato. I like Ryan Donato.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't think he is going to be as good a player as you think he's going to be.
Do you think he'll be better than Charlie Coyle?
Well, he certainly has the skills to be that.
See, I think he will. I think now, and maybe I'm just kind of narrow-minded and I'm thinking just about goal scoring here, but I think Ryan Donato will end up with more goals in his career than Charlie Coyle with. And not just his career, but... You know, give him another year to really get adjusted to it, and I think he'll be a better player even in two seasons than Charlie Coyle is right now.
And even though he is, as you pointed out, 26 years old, he's already played in 479 NHL games.
Oh, he came right away. He was a 20-year-old rookie.
He's got 91 career goals. He's got 242 career points.
Oh, there's no doubt he helps this team.
That's all I care about.
There's no doubt
With all due respect to 2 years, 3 years down the road, I think the Bruins are more worried about, that window they keep talking about with Bergeron and Chara and Krejci. They're worried about this window.
Right.
And Charlie Coyle helps this window.
And I just wonder did they offer, say, Trent Frederick, or did they offer somebody else? And Minnesota said no, and then they had, I'm curious how that worked, or where the Bruins slotted in Donato there. Because I just think they've had a lot of young guys break through. What was the stat last year of all the first-time players making their debuts?
It was
insane, but you're starting to see, all right, what guys are hits and what guys are misses. DeBrusque is drafted in the same draft with Sinishin and with Zboril. Like, what are those guys? Like, those are three first-round picks right in a row. It looks like one of them's a pro.
Maybe even better than just a pro.
Yeah, oh yeah, one of them's good, and the other two are like, can't get a sniff. And then these other, you're like, oh, well, we've heard so much about JFK. Like, oh, wait till JFK gets up here. Like, I don't know, nothing. Like, wait till Trent Frederick, he has a fight, and then that's pretty much it for him.
See, I actually think that was going into their thought process here. And when I said yesterday, I think they're willing to look into this stockpile of young players and start to wheel some guys out of here because, you pointed out, the only one that's overwhelmed you so far is DeBrusque.
He's right. No, that's but and so for me, and I know Donato,
and I don't think he's available. By the way,
yeah, probably not. And I don't have numbers to back it up, but I like Donato more than those other guys. So I'm fine with giving up young guys to help this team right now. Again, Chara, Krejci, Bergeron, Marchand. You want to make sure you can try to win right now while you have those guys. I just personally like Donato, so I didn't want to see him go. I would have been happier with anybody else.
So we'll talk about that as the morning goes along. We've got a bunch of other stuff. We've got new Kyrie sound that's suddenly come out of the blue.
It's going to be
a daily saga, apparently.
This is outrageous. Like, how LeBron always out-LeBrons himself? Like, every time he talks, he says something more ridiculous. Kyrie may have upped the ante. He may have even out-LeBroned LeBron. Like, if you're still on Kyrie, you got to take a look at the mirror. I don't know how you could possibly be Team Kyrie anymore.
And because the Bruins had a 10-15 face-off last night.
The later start.
I bought into the hype. I wanted to watch some college basketball.
Couldn't wait, 9 o'clock. Duke UNC.
I was ready, along with the former president of the United States.
He was front row.
Did you see his jacket has 44 on the sleeve?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you got to think that's good for you. That's humble brag, isn't it?
Yeah,
44.
Oh,
what's that mean?
It is.
I don't know.
My favorite number.
So 30 seconds into the game, I'm thinking, Nike's not having a good night.
They did not have a good night.
Nike stock today closed down 1%. They opened down 1% on the New York Stock Exchange. That means an on paper loss of their value of $1.2 billion because Zion Williamson's sneaker blew last night. I mean, think about that for a minute.
You ever seen a sneaker pop like that?
I have
just
never.
Just explode?
No.
I mean, Zion's a big fella.
And look, there
he's
are
a big
there,
dude.
There are some big guys who played basketball, you know, in our
dude.
Lifetime.
Yeah.
Shaq. And
Oliver Miller.
Charles Barkley.
There's been some big fellas out
I
there.
I have never seen a shoe just
exploded.
Disintegrate yeah. like it happened
it
last
exploded.
Night. So we'll talk about that as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEE.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Gives Ryan Donato an opportunity to go to a building program in Minnesota. It gives Charlie Coyle an opportunity to come home. And there's the deal. Had a chance to talk with Ryan Donato today. He's heading down to New York. And he's excited about the opportunity. Charlie Coyle did not get on the Minnesota plane. They flew to New York. And here's Charlie Coyle's Boston background, Weymouth High School, Thayer Academy, where his cousin Tony Amonte is actually the coach, the former NHLer. And he played for the South Shore Kings with Chris Wagner. So lots of tie-ins on both sides of the deal.
Now, both of these teams, Pierre and the Bruins, made the trade for Coyle earlier today. They really wanted to add some depth to their scoring up front.
Charlie could play anywhere in your lineup.
Yeah.
Charlie could play wing. Charlie could play center. Look out. Here we go.
Marchand up ice against Schmidt.
Dave Gosher on the call, by
How
the way,
about
last
Gosh?
Night.
Gosh back. That'd
NBC
be weird for
Sports
him.
Sports Network. Well, he was available. He
His
was there.
Teams.
He was going to
yeah,
be there
was.
Anywhere. And they
he
weren't going to televise the game anyway.
No.
So good for Gosh. You just knew that Pierre wanted to work
yeah,
in Tony Amonte's cousin,
Thayer
South Shore
Academy.
Kings, Weymouth
wait.
High School. He had it all lined up and ready to go. The Bruins have made the first, what I think is their first deal. And they got kind of a little bit of a head start on it. Ryan Donato will join the Minnesota Wild immediately, as you heard Pierre say. They're in New York. He headed to New York, left Providence, headed for New York to join them.
Good for him.
They are 1-6-3 in their last 10 games.
They're in dead last. They're a bad team. But they've been good before. You know, Coyle's played in a bunch of playoff games. Like, they've made the playoffs almost every year he was there, I think. You know, this year they're not headed to the playoffs, but Coyle's got 44 career postseason games under his belt. Not a whole lot of production there.
No. In fact, if anything, people have wondered what happens to this guy come playoff time.
Yeah.
44 playoff games, 15 points.
Ooh.
6 points in his last 28 playoff games.
Ooh. Last year he went 5 games, nothing.
Yep.
Goose egg across the board. So, I mean, that was one of the, remember, with Rick Nash, who obviously different kind of style of player also later in his career, but that was one of the concerns when they acquired Rick Nash for a first-round pick was not exactly great in the playoffs. Coyle, you know, if he does something here, it'd be the first time. We'll see.
And they still have possession, obviously, of their first-round pick.
I don't think they would want to trade that.
Oh, I don't think they want to, but if, you know, if they're out there trying to land one of the big fish, the Artemi Panarin, Mark Stone, Matt Duchene types,
right,
they still at least have that available to them if that's what it takes to finally close the deal.
Yeah, and because it was just Donato and a fifth-round pick, you still have a whole bunch of draft picks, and you still have a whole bunch of players that are either on the Bruins, or the Boston Bruins roster, or some of the guys that have been going back and forth this season. So they have a bunch of young guys that they could still include in a deal.
By the way, all you Nike honks out there, it was a joke about they lost, you know, all their money because the shoe blew out. The Dow is down. I understand that it was a joke. But technically on paper, their value is down $1.2
billion. I saw a guy's shoe burst, and then I saw the money go down. I connected the dots. That's all I needed to see.
I mean, the Dow is down.
Is Puma way up?
I don't know.
No?
Puma was tweeting.
Puma was excited.
They were throwing shade at Nike last night, and then they decided, oh, we better pull that
back. Why would they delete that? Cowards? What's up with Puma? Cowards.
This is your opportunity.
They swooped in there, and it was like an innocent joke and a little attention for them, and then they deleted it. Awful. Don't ever delete a tweet. If you tweeted it, that's you.
It's like you ask Mrs. Hayward. Don't apologize.
No, don't apologize.
Don't take anything back.
Lean into it. Retweet it yourself. You tweeted it. What's the problem?
I bet you it would be the biggest thing. Like, it's still big, and it's a deleted screenshot. That's, like, one of the most popular trending things on Twitter today.
I mean, right. As soon as you post it like that, and if you have a bunch of followers, it's going to happen. Terry Rozier tweeted out, come on over to Puma with the man shrugging emoji. And then he followed that up with, didn't know he was hurt, person with folded arms or folded hands praying emoji.
He didn't delete it.
But he did not delete the come on over to
not
Puma.
Not a boy, Terry.
He's recruiting him to Puma. Is that tampering? It's going to be something.
No, that's not tampering.
No?
That's a suggestion.
It is a suggestion.
He obviously, because he's a college athlete, he wears Nikes because Duke is a Nike school.
Right.
He is not a Nike
athlete.
And because
Coach K is a billionaire thanks to Nike.
Yeah, thanks to Nike.
Yeah.
Now, it is expected that Nike is going to make a heavy play for him when he comes out in the NBA draft.
They all will, though.
And they'll pay him a crap ton of money, more than Puma is going
to
be able to pay
him. They need to do that. They need to. If Nike can get him to this monster contract, get him a shoe deal, and then even kind of make jokes about it and be like, oh, I trust these guys or whatever, or they've improved the quality, something, I think that'll help him. If he goes and signs with Puma, like last year's number one overall pick, DeAndre Ayton did, that's a worse look for Nike.
That's the sell, though. Last year's number one pick is a Puma athlete.
Puma. There's like five Puma guys. And it's
maybe,
Terry Rozier is
New
one
Balance
of them.
Will make a big push to have him join Kawhi.
Kawhi with his exciting shoe. It's the lamest sneaker I've ever seen in my life.
Well, based on
these guys go like crazy.
Invigorating designs, personality he has.
Right. It matches. It's a perfect fit.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, just a quick aside with Kyrie. Oh, my God. This guy is so infuriating. He's like the hot girl that posts a string bikini picture on Instagram. He's like, oh, my God. Why is everybody liking this? Why all the comments? Like, Kyrie, dude, bro, if you didn't want to be in the public eye, you shouldn't be playing in the NBA. Go do your Gandhi route somewhere else.
He's obnoxious. We'll get to him, Mike. What's your thought on Donato?
Well, I was just going to say, if he thinks it's bad in Boston, go fight with Brooks.
Is it any chance you're going to actually get to the point you said you called about?
Okay,
easy, Dale. He wants to talk about Kyrie. What is the problem there?
Get him, Dale.
Jeez.
Yeah, right. Dale hates me. And, you know, I just hate the act.
What's the act?
I mean, the act is you tell Lucy that you want to talk about Donato, and then when you get on the air, well, and let me just say something about this, and
well,
let me give you something about that.
Kyrie, it's a pretty big story. It's not like he's talking about, you know, some movie or something. Go ahead, Mike. Talk about whatever you want.
I'm fine with Dale. I realize that your seconds are precious on the radio, so I'm going to get to it. Okay. I think it was a bad trade. Just like Keith, I think there's a little bit more upside to Donato. And you know what? I give you that respect, Dale, because you've already forgotten more about hockey than I'll ever know. But, I mean, if you're going to try to sell me that this guy is your second-line guy, uh-uh. I mean, I get it until Pastrnak comes back. But if this is the only move they make, this smells like a little Shirelli to me.
Oh, if it's the only move they make, you've got every right to say that.
It'd be brutal.
He, in my opinion, Saturday he'll be a second-line guy simply because David Pastrnak is not playing yet. And they, I don't think, will have made another move yet. He is here to be the third line center. That's what they acquired him for. That's what they want him to be. And if he's a 15 to 20 goal scorer as a third line center, they're going to be pretty happy with that. And they are not worried about, you know, 2 years, 3 years down the road. They're worried about this year, next year, and this guy's under contract for both of those years.
I mean, these are his goal totals in his career. 8, 12, 11, 21, 18, 11, and now he has 10. So, I mean, I'm
a really bad hockey team, but yeah.
Okay, well, so somebody's going to score, right?
Yeah, no,
still score.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm underwhelmed by him, and he could certainly prove me wrong, and I'm certainly going to watch more of him in the next 2-3 weeks than I will, you know, his whole career in Minnesota, but the numbers certainly don't jump out at you.
And you notice recently, as the Bruins have been calling guys up from Providence of the American Hockey League, you know, Solarik and Kuhlman, they weren't calling up Ryan Donato.
No, they weren't. They wanted to make sure his value was as low as possible so they could trade him away.
I think that they felt that other guys had earned the opportunity to play here, and Ryan Donato had not. And I know you're being facetious, but sometimes people say, oh, they're just trying to bury the guy. No, what they want
to
do is win.
They
want to win.
Yeah.
Their desire is to always put the best players out that they can put out there. And if they thought he would help them win, he'd be here.
Well, I don't think they thought he was ready. I mean, they gave him the shot earlier in the season, and it looked like he wasn't ready, right? Then he gets scratched, and then next thing he gets sent down, and you're like, okay, maybe he needs another whole year to figure it out. I just, it does feel like they gave up on him.
617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Dale? How's it going?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
All right. My personal opinion, this is just my personal opinion. Ryan Donato, I don't think is NHL ready, and he's far from it. I mean, I watched him play a little bit last year, a little bit this year, and every time he touches the puck, he's peeling himself off the boards, peeling himself off the ice. They whacked him around like he was a crash test dummy. He needs to go to the gym. He needs to bulk up. And to wait 4 or 5 years for a kid like that, is it really worth it? I mean, like you said, you traded a Providence guy for an established NHLer.
A guy with 479 NHL games, so he clearly can play at this level and has played at this level. Now, look, if Ryan Donato ends up being a 30-goal scorer in the NHL, then Keith's going to be right.
Right.
I don't know that that's going to happen.
He may not. I mean, but also, Coyle has 4 more goals than Donato does this year.
Right.
In twice as many games. Like, it's just, I look at it and I don't know. I would say Coyle certainly is somebody that you can throw in there. And if you look at all the forwards on the team, he might already be your 5th or 6th best forward. So you are helping your team right now. I just didn't know if you could get him for somebody else or what. And it's not like Donato was untradeable for me. I just assumed he would have been a part of a Mark Stone deal or a part of a Wayne Simmonds deal or something like that.
Ryan Donato's played 18 games for Providence this year. He's got 7 goals, 5 assists, 12 points, and is a minus 1 if you want to use that statistic. And I know some people don't want to. He actually had a fight a couple of weeks ago.
Ugh, I don't think he should be fighting.
Probably not. You know,
he is a little dude.
He's
a little
guy.
He
is slight. You know, he's not strong on the puck. You remember the guy yesterday?
Heavy on the puck.
He's not heavy on the puck.
He's listed at 6'1", 193 on Hockey Reference.
That's SID numbers.
Good Lord. We had him on at the Jimmy Fund last year.
Yes.
He came in and was great. Little guy. Like a thin little dude. And so,
did you guys know where college he went to?
Oh, no. Where'd he go?
BU is a bust. They stink. They have soft players.
No, we're talking about Donato right now.
Yeah, well,
he didn't go to BU.
The good news is Ryan Donato went to Harvard,
so that doesn't matter.
But
remember, he went to class? That was the whole thing? He still went to class while he was playing for the team?
He was playing games and then going back to stay in the dorm afterwards.
Well, based on
the
way the season is going for him, he probably should go and graduate from Harvard. He may end up using that a little bit more, the way things are going, but I don't know. I don't like it. We'll see. Coyle could come up, and he could be a real spark for him, and you know, this could help make his career, but it's not like he's been on bad teams his whole career.
No, no.
I mean, Minnesota this year sucks, but prior to that, they were playing in important games.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. You heard us talk about the Kyrie Irving situation. We'll play you what he said yesterday. I can't wait to hear what he says today, because it'll be worse.
He is unbelievable.
It's going to go day by day by day.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Day.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So So yesterday on the show, we played a significant portion of a one-on-one interview that Rachel Nichols had with Kyrie Irving, which ran on The Jump yesterday. Little did we know that they were going to have a bit of a practice, a shoot-around out at Marquette, getting ready for tonight's game against Milwaukee coming out of the All-Star break. And Kyrie was going to be asked questions based on the audio that we had heard.
Yeah.
And the video that we had seen, the All-Star video, him in the hallway with Kevin Durant. And
awful. The whole thing was awful. And the stuff from yesterday with Kyrie was, once again, blaming the young guys, blaming the media. Now he seems to really hate the media. Like, David Price level hates the media, blames the media for certain headlines can get into a locker room and tear a team apart. Like, yikes. How close was that team if a headline is going to tear him apart? So, to me, it felt like more of the same. And so any of this, hey, they've turned a page, and, you know, Marcus Morris kind of walked back his comments about not having fun, and, you know, he and Jaylen Brown pushed each other, and maybe that's not that big of a deal, and Kyrie and Jaylen Brown kind of sniping at each other without saying each other's names for a while in the media, maybe that has sort of changed. But then Kyrie plays in the All-Star game after he can't play 25 freaking minutes. And then it's just more of the same. And
you don't have to try to be a leader.
There's that too. And then it wasn't done. I thought we maybe have reached sort of the worst part of all of this. I was wrong. This takes the cake.
Steve Bolpet of the Boston Herald was asking most of the questions, if not all of them.
Who has covered the team forever,
and
including
there,
every game that Kyrie's been here. So it's not like some new guy swooping in trying to get like a soundbite from him.
No,
that's not what he's doing.
I would think if you're Kyrie, you probably have a pretty good idea who Steve
you
Bolpet
is. You know who
is.
Steve Bolpet is.
Not
yes.
a bomb tosser by
no,
any means.
No.
You know, straight down the middle reporter, covers the team, you know, does a good job.
Yeah.
And is not sitting there looking for headlines.
No.
So he starts out asking Kyrie about whether Kyrie wanted to sort of tamp down some of the comments that are being made out there.
So now I don't have a private life when I'm out there in the NBA. Somebody wants to take a video and pour water on
me?
I'm a human being talking to another best friend of mine. Like,
no, I'm saying.
It's just crazy. You know, this is the stuff that just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league anymore by doing bull like that. Of just fictitious putting things on, like, what we're talking about. Like, it's crazy. I guess that's what you want. Right?
No. What I'm saying is that it's out there. Do you want to cool it off or whatever by saying, you know, because obviously people are running with it saying, you know.
Yeah,
look, we haven't written about it. We're like, that's we're coming to you to ask you about it, okay?
And people like who then?
Well, it's all over the internet. I mean, it's just, you know.
Is the internet real for you? Are you like? It's my life, you know, right? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you, but
making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it?
Well,
why does that have an impact on my life? Why are you asking me those type of questions? About cooling it off? Or what?
The reason we're not
get it.
Is the internet real for you in your life?
We're talking about a flat earth guy here, remember?
Is the internet real for you in your life? Oh, put that on a shirt. What a loser this guy is.
Is the internet real for you?
Yeah, the internet's real, Kyrie.
I'm looking at it right now,
Kyrie.
No,
it's real. Like, yeah, and that's where we get a lot of our information. And Steve Bolpet, now maybe he sort of asked it, I think, innocently enough that maybe Kyrie got confused and he didn't understand what he meant by dumping water on it. I don't know what happened, and he got defensive and he kind of lashed back at him. But Steve's actually the one who's saying, I'm not taking this internet clip and writing a story
I'm
off of it.
I'm trying to go to
I'm
you,
talking
and,
to you
and let you talk about
it. Face to face. I'm talking to you about it. Oh my God, this guy is unbelievable. He's blaming the media. Now he's not having fun? So Marcus Morris doesn't have fun when they're winning. Now Kyrie Irving is saying, you guys are talking about stuff that's not on the court stuff, so this isn't fun. This doesn't make the league fun.
Doesn't make the league fun.
Did he say it doesn't promote the league? Is he out of his mind? What are all the biggest stories? They're all about the soap opera in the NBA. You don't think that helps the NBA at all? When they're constantly in the news, ooh, where's Kevin Durant going to go? Where's Jimmy Butler going to go? Where's Anthony Davis going to go? Now he's not having fun?
Nobody helps the league anymore by doing bull like that.
How do you think the league can afford to pay you $30, $40 million going forward? Do you think so this is like Kevin, his best friend, who he even says in the cut, my best friend, just a couple of best friends out there. Kevin Durant was the same way. Oh, I just want to talk about basketball. they're the same guy, and they're both going to play for the Knicks next year. And I'm sure the New York media is just going to back down and be like, hey, you guys are the best. Not going to say a word. I'm so glad that I jumped off of the Kyrie Irving bandwagon weeks ago. For everybody that's still on it, get off now. Get away from there. He called LeBron. That was the first sign that you can't trust this guy, and he's obnoxious. Can you stomach him anymore, Dill?
He's making it harder and harder.
Oh, it's impossible.
We've got another cut.
Oh my God. There's enough to unpack in that
We're going
to
add to your yuck tsunami
is
here.
Is the internet real for you in your life?
We're talking about a guy who says the earth is flat, remember?
I know.
Is the internet real for you in your life?
Yes, it's real for me in my life.
Who's saying that? Oh, yeah, so play the other cut, too, because there's so much here.
The reason we're asking about it is because the people, the fans are interested in it. That's all.
Oh, the fans?
Yes.
This is about the fans.
Well, this is about the fans. What you do with your life, absolutely.
Okay, so that's where we started the conversation. What I do with my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's. It's not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking. And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. You get that? Do you get that? And then I'm asking questions about it. Like that's what disconnects me from all that. Because I have no connection to that. Like over a video, I'm asking questions about the fans. You brought up the fans. Come on, man. You do it for the likes and clicks. Everybody does. Everybody wants to hear me talk like this. Like everybody wants to hear every athlete talk about bull like this. A video though, to pull water on it.
No, what I'm saying,
this makes no sense.
So he's dumb, is what we're figuring out. I mean, and listen, it takes one to know one.
Steve
I'm also
Volpe
dumb.
Was sure as hell trying. I mean, he was giving him every opportunity. I know.
And then it's like it blew. Kyrie Irving's been in the league forever, and it just blew his mind to realize that the media is also there for the fans and ask questions that the fans want to know the answers to. So in Kyrie's mind, only Steve Volpet and A'Sherrod Blakely and Brian Robb, they're the only ones who care that Kyrie Irving may leave the team. Apparently the fans don't care at all. The fans aren't interested in at all.
Yeah, he sounded... the fans?
Well, the fans? Well, oh, the you're fans? Doing this for the fans? Or you're doing this for the likes and clicks? Bullpet's been doing this way before there were likes and clicks.
And way before Kyrie Irving was even thought of as a player.
He covered
Bird, in this
for
league.
God's sakes. And he's doing it for the likes and clicks.
It's about the fans.
Yes, it is about the fans.
That's who the reporters are writing for.
Kyrie. Oh, he's lost me. He has lost me.
And he's never getting you back either.
So here's my podium for most obnoxious NBA players. LeBron gets the gold. Kevin Durant gets the silver. Kyrie Irving, now on the podium, gets the bronze. Those three guys.
Likes and clicks.
Likes and clicks. You're doing it for likes and clicks. No, he's not. He's writing the story. He's writing the story for the fans. Do you think the fans see the video of Kyrie and Durant and go, I can't wait for the game on Thursday when they run pick and rolls and I can't wait to see him and Giannis? No, they do care about that stuff. They care about the results on the court, but there's so much else involved with basketball specifically. Fans are obsessed with it. They're not going to see the thing with him and Durant and say, nothing to see here. He's our guy for the future. Can't wait for him to re-sign here. Kyrie is obnoxious.
If you could put Danny Ainge and or Brad Stevens under truth serum, what do you think they feel about this?
They know he's gone. First of all, I think they know it. They got to be sick by it. But what they're doing is they're kissing his ass because they're in a situation in that
league. Because you got to try.
You have to.
You got to hope you can keep him.
Yes. That's the problem. Like you have to. And on the one hand, I like it because it's the opposite of football. The players, who are the ones making all the money here really for the whole league, they're the ones that are doing it. They have so much power in the NBA. And if you're Stevens or Ainge, which you have a lot of self-respect, but then when it comes to situations like this, you're like, oh, Kyrie, you know, yeah, that's how he wanted to respond to it. I'm on his side. Because you have to be. You can't take the other side or he's definitely gone.
Oh, God, yeah. But he's probably gone anyway.
I think he is probably gone. And he's going to blame the media. He's going to blame somebody. He's going to blame the young guys and the media on the way out.
Oh, by the way, wherever he goes, let's say the Knicks for the sake of our discussion, it ain't going to get any better.
No, it's not. Because he's probably going to sign a 1-1 like all these guys do so they can make sure that they can help out their team. And then they can sign the max after that or whatever else. And they're going to be constantly asking him, are you staying here? Are you staying here? Are you staying here? Listen, the NBA, the other superstars around you who have all just jumped from team to team to team, they're the ones to blame for this, not the media. The media has to ask these guys who are in their contract year about where you're going to go, especially
or the
really we're talking about anymore. It is more of the soap opera stuff, but it helps the popularity of the league, which I am shocked that this guy doesn't understand. Actually, maybe I shouldn't be shocked. He is so frustrating to listen to. And maybe there were signs of it early on, and I wanted to ignore it.
You did ignore it.
I did ignore it.
I mean, because the whole flat earth stuff.
Didn't care about that. I didn't care.
But it gave you a window into what this guy is.
He does have the Ray Allen, I'm the smartest guy in the locker room, I'm the smartest guy everywhere I go.
You get feel that? To him. Like, do you get that?
No, not really. I guess I don't get it. But that is brutal. And for all people, too, it's Steve Bulpet. It's not a guy. He's a guy who's been covering the team maybe longer than anybody else who's down there. It's not a new face to Kyrie Irving. It's not a guy that just has the nonstop, you know, TMZ style headlines to get the team. He's just reporting on the team. This is a pretty big story.
By
the way, you haven't played a game in 8 days. So what else are we going to write about? They haven't played a game in forever.
And by the way, you haven't played a game in longer than that, except for an exhibition game that you apparently were good to go in.
That's a good point. Yeah, so what else do you want to talk about? This was a big story. Kyrie was all over All-Star Weekend, and his best buddy, he said best friend like three times in that cut about Kevin Durant. Oh, they are absolutely going to New York, and he's going to make some sort of passive-aggressive comment on the way out the door about the media and the young guys, because that's who he is blaming for them not reaching their ceiling right now. But some of the lines in there just got to make you sick. Is the internet real for you in your life? Yeah, Kyrie, a lot of people take a look at the internet. A lot of people kind of go on there and
Al Gore
and get
invented
some of
it. So
Al
I
Gore
mean,
did.
Yeah.
You go on there, you get some of your news. And I'm sorry, but in the NBA right now, Kevin Durant, maybe second best player in the league, Kyrie Irving, top 10 player in the league. We're seeing buddy-buddy all weekend long, and there's a video of you guys talking together. We're not really sure what was said. Some videos are making it out to be two max deals. Others are saying that's not what they said. Whatever. You know what?
Let's ask you.
Yes! What a novel concept. Rather than making something up, we're going to go ask you. And this is the same stuff as before, where he tells all the season ticket holders, Dale, that he's coming back. Then he gets a little annoyed by some of the questioning, and now it's last week, July 1st. So if there's ever a guy to ask, it would be someone who's not consistent. Like, we don't know what your answer is going to be today, so we're going to keep asking you. And he's like, this makes the league not fun. Oh, please. That's embarrassing.
Your guy. Well,
not my guy.
It used to be your
not
guy.
Not my guy.
No longer
I'm a Brad
Wanamaker
guy. You know that. Love
that number 9 jersey hanging in our office.
It's on its way. Yeah.
Right there.
That's right.
All right, let's let you guys talk about it as well. 617-779-7937. Joe's on the cell phone. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Joe.
Morning, Joe.
You know, I love listening to a radio station like you guys. We've got a voice of reason instead of those other clowns, that fat load, Glenn Ordway. I've been telling him for weeks now that Kyrie Irving is not going to sign here, but he keeps going on and defending this guy that, you know, if you fans are crazy, if you think he doesn't make this team better. Hey, Glenn Ordway, there's a difference whether a guy makes your team better and a guy that wants to play for the team. This guy is obviously has shipped out. This guy, I can't stand this guy anymore. I don't even want him here. This guy is cancer to this locker room. He keeps knocking down his own players. What type of leader is that? He calls LeBron James for advice. When for months that we thought that LeBron James was the problem in Cleveland when those two played together, and it clearly was Kyrie Irving, because if it wasn't Kyrie Irving, he wouldn't be calling LeBron James for advice. This guy is a buffoon. I can't stand this guy. I can't stand that fat load. Glenn Ordway?
Yeah, right, Joe. Call Ordway then. Call him at 2 o'clock. Yeah.
How about if you rip Glenn Ordway?
Call him at 2. He's out for 4 hours today.
You'll get
give
a chance.
Him a buzz.
Yeah.
Give him a buzz. But, yeah, I mean, so I'm not, as much as I can't stand him, I'm not there yet. Because if you just got rid of him, you're worse.
Oh, you can't just get rid of him
anyway.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, you're worse. Yeah, I mean, not this year. I don't think he's talking about this year, because that's insane. But I'm saying at the end of the year.
Right.
You have to still offer him a contract. You have to hope that he comes
back.
Which
you feel less and less confident he'll even accept anyway.
Right. But the more he talks, the more I'm going to get over it quickly. Right? You're just, he's a hard
guy. Like you might almost be there now.
You know what? Fine. You know what? Fine. We'll make do with whatever else we have here. I trust Danny Ainge to put the team together with somebody other than Kyrie Irving. He is just, He's insufferable is what he is. There's no other word for it.
Nick's in New Hampshire. Hey, Nick.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Hey, so I'm pretty sure I called a couple of days ago after the Philly game explaining why this team was better with Rozier than Kyrie. And, Keith, you're guilty of defending Kyrie. So
I'll see, that's the thing, Nick. I'll defend him on the court. It's similar to LeBron. I can't stand LeBron, but once you're talking about the game, the 48-minute game, I think they're great players.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player talent-wise, but he's the ultimate suckbag. And he's become a distraction. Like, what does the rest of the season mean? Like, are we just supposed to forget about the rest of this season and see what happens with Kyrie in the offseason? I mean, he's got this team by the balls right now.
Well, I know, but you have to play him, though, Nick, right? I mean, you can't just get rid of him now. That's not an option. So, I mean, you can be frustrated with him.
A, you have to pay him, and B, as you pointed out, if you're Danny and if you're Brad, you got to kind of suck up to him and hope he wants to stay, because then maybe you can talk another superstar into coming.
Right.
Because if he leaves,
then you're definitely not getting Anthony Davis.
No,
you could technically get him, but then he's out the door in a year for sure,
right.
And he may even have a shoulder injury in quotes and not even play for
it. It feels a little sore.
By the way, just so Kyrie knows, those are Celtics fans who are calling in. Those aren't just other beat writers who are looking for clicks. Those happen to be Celtics fans calling in who care about him and right now can't stand him.
Can I point out to Kyrie?
Yes, please.
It was Celtics fans he was talking to at that season ticket event.
Right.
When he pulled out his jersey and said, this is where I want to be here. I mean, he was talking to them then, right?
I think so. Although, day-to-day with him, everything changes.
Or was he just going for clicks and likes?
I think he wants clicks and likes. He is the worst.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.